Hey, what's up? I'm Jason Howell, and I spent some time here with the new, that's N-U-U, Z8. This is the 32 gig model, which you can get for $300 off contract. Who is new, you might be asking? Launched in China in 2012, new actually just entered North and South American markets. And their focus is on, they say, solid devices at a low cost. We're seeing a lot of this type of this category of devices coming out right now. And the new Z8 definitely falls in that category. So the 32 gig model is $300. You can also get the 16 gig model for $250. Let's take a quick look at the specs here. It's running a 64-bit 1.7 gigahertz octa-core MediaTek processor, the 6752. It has 2 gigs of onboard RAM. It has a 5.5-inch 1080p IPS LCD display. That's with 400 pixels per inch. 13-megapixel rear-facing camera with a Sony lens back there, and then 8-megapixel front-facing camera up top. 2650 milliamp hour battery, and that is removable underneath this case here. It also has a micro SD card slot and dual LTE SIM card slots for GSM. And finally, it's running Android 5.0 Lollipop. So first of all, the design. I'd say it's a relatively thin device for such a low-cost device. The bottom edge, the whole bottom edge, is a big notification light, so it's nice to have that on board. The navigation buttons, I couldn't help but notice, are totally backwards to the standard. It's not weird that we see this. OEMs decide to do this for whatever reasons. I don't know if it's differentiation or what it is, but it kept throwing me off. Sharp edges around the rim, and that actually becomes kind of uncomfortable when you're making a phone call. You put it up to your ear, right? And every time I made a call with the new Z8, I don't know, maybe it's a stupid complaint, but I felt like those edges were kind of digging into my ear, and it was just kind of uncomfortable. It's not very comfortable to make calls with the new Z8. And finally, as I said, the back plate is removable, although it takes a little bit of prying, but you can get it off and you can get to the removable battery back there, as well as all of those slots, the dual SIM and the micro SD. All right, so the display, I'd say right off the top, the display was not too impressive to me. It's 1080p and the pixel density is pretty nice, but you can see right now, you can definitely tell here, it's very blue in person. And off-axis viewing, I mean, it just drops considerably. You see when I rotate it like that, you just stop seeing anything on the screen. It's like that in real life as well. The camera that's on board here, pictures, I wouldn't say weren't very bad at all. Good light, especially, which we're used to kind of seeing. And the Sony lens is in a lot of phones these days, so it's very similar to what you've seen in other phones. I had a hard time with close-up and macro-style shots with this, but you know, maybe that doesn't matter so much to you. The front-facing camera, I'd say, is a lot better than your usual mid-range devices, so that's definitely a plus. And there's HDR mode, high dynamic range, on both the back as well as the front, so it's kind of nice to have that there, though it is a little bit slow in processing. But overall, I'd say the camera did a pretty good job on this phone. Performance-wise, it is running with 2 gigs of storage. That can be kind of slow at time, not to mention it's running the MediaTek processor, which kind of slows things down when you're doing things like multitasking. You know, the usual stuff, home screen, app drawer, all that kind of stuff was totally fine. Web browsing was okay, though there was slow down at times, and I could definitely feel like it was kind of lagging a little bit as I was trying to move through heavy web pages. The biggest issue in performance, though, and this is critical, I think, are twofold. One, Wi-Fi on this device was so finicky. I don't know if it's a weak antenna or what it was, but I've used a million devices in places like here at the Twit Studio and at home in my house, and I had tons of issues with Wi-Fi connectivity on this phone, and it would just trade off to the 4G SIM card and then come back to Wi-Fi when I know that there's strong Wi-Fi there for any other device that I use. And that just kind of delays things, and it was a regular issue and very annoying. Also, GPS was always inaccurate. and always flaky. Even when I'm in places that I've used GPS plenty of times with other devices, it would take up to a minute and a half to finally lock a signal and move beyond the beginning of a navigation session. And then when it did that, I'd be a couple of streets over and it was constantly trying to, you know, reroute me so that I get back to where it expects me to be. That was super duper annoying. And finally, the battery. I'd say the battery lasted pretty darn well. It never really ran out of juice. I felt like it was strong enough. You know, that's probably helped by the fact that it's a 1080p panel on here, and so it's not requiring so much juice. But there you go. I will say that somebody reached out to me on Twitter to let me know that new plans to push out an update sometime in the next week that addresses both the Wi-Fi and the GPS issues. I recorded this review before that update, so I can only judge it based on that, but it's very possible that they've addressed these issues with the software update. Definitely look into that. As for the software, pretty close to stock, I would say. A few minor additions, some things like scheduled power on or power off, if you wanted to power off at night and then power on in the morning, that's kind of neat. Gestures that we see a lot these days, tap to wake, shake for the light, flip to mute, and all that kind of stuff. And then there's another feature that I didn't really use because you need two phones running this, but hot knot, which is kind of like bump for bumping file transfers from one device to another. So let's take a look at the pros of the new Z8. First of all, the display is sharp. I will give it that. The camera does a pretty darn good job considering that this is a mid-range device and we don't normally see great camera performance in mid-range. And stock Android with a few useful extras. Now for the cons, and these are big. Wi-Fi inconsistency. And it was just weak. And I'm sorry, that kind of makes this phone somewhat dead in the water at that point. GPS was also a big recurring issue. Some design touches, like the sharpness of the edges, kind of bugged me over time. And the display, as you can see, even though it's sharp, has an overly blue hue, and you just really can't shake that. As for my verdict, I'd have to give this I don't buy. I think it was, I think it's a good try. And on paper, the specs seem really great. But just in my weekly use of this device, I kind of got a little bit more annoyed by it than I did enjoyed using it. And so when that happens, I kind of have to say I wouldn't recommend anyone buy it for now. Let's see what new comes up with next with their next flagship device in this price range. It's a good start, though. My name is Jason Howell. You can catch my reviews here and on my other Android show, All About Android. We'll see you guys soon.